Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Sam Britton here, ready to do another podcast for you, this time in a wonderful piece of Macintosh software. You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot of times is accessibility for those of us who are blind and visually impaired that use the Macintosh. Well, when we find a piece of software, we need to congratulate those who produce the software and make it accessible for those of us who are blind and visually impaired. And I have found just that piece of software. I'm sure there are a lot of you that use the Macintosh that are using Adaptic Toast, or not Adaptic Toast, a Roxio Toast. It used to be Adaptic, but it's now Roxio. And I have been thoroughly disappointed with all versions of Roxio's Toast CD burning software since Mac OS X, and have had some problems even with some of the later versions for Mac OS 9. But particularly under Mac OS X, I have had some of the goofiest problems burning CDs with Roxio's Toast. Well, enter a program called Dragon Burn. It's Dragon, as in Dragon, D-R-A-G-O-N, and in B-U-R-N. Okay? This is a program that is written by a company that calls themselves NTI Software. This program is absolutely far and above Toast. If you have been using Toast, forget Toast. Here's a piece of software that'll knock the pants off of Toast and will keep coming back for more. I have never seen a piece of CD recording software that will do more than this program, Dragon Burn. Dragon Burn is in a class by itself in that not only can it record CDs, and it can do audio CDs, MP3 CDs, data CDs, live audio CDs, if you have a processor fast enough to handle it, although I'm going to put in a little bug report on that and give them a suggestion for a feature with that. It's not real stable on some Macintosh models, but it does have it, and there's potential there for a great feature. It also has data CDs, data CD DVDs. You can do that. You can do video DVDs or CDs. You can do CD copies from disk images. The list goes on and on. You can do multiple copies. You can do a thing that's called disk spanning. And we'll get into some of what these features are. But the main thing that I want to point out before we get started is that this program is totally accessible. Totally accessible. Takes a little trickery at first getting used to the buttons because some of the controls are abbreviated. The names of the controls are abbreviated. And as we heard in another podcast that we did regarding the program Rumpus, which is an FTP server, sometimes the Cocoa interface does not always make it easy to label buttons in exactly the manner in which they should be. But once you get acquainted with where these buttons are and once the and what the abbreviations stand for, let's put it that way, then you are up and running and you have no problems. Okay? The main thing is that Dragon Burn has a Cocoa front end. That's one of the key ingredients that makes any piece of software accessible for voiceover, is that it has a Cocoa front end. These guys, without knowing it, wrote a program from the ground up, which, in my opinion, is totally usable by blind people and could be totally for blind people. Now, sighted people can use it, but, of course, what we capitalize is how accessible is it to us. This program will do things such as label audio CDs off the internet. Let's say you want to make a personal copy of an audio CD for your own personal pleasure as backup, you can, and it will even go out on the internet and title that CD for you off of the CD database so that when you stick it in a computer or any player that has title indexing, that it will show the name of the CD along with the tracks, what the tracks are called when it's played back in a player that supports that feature. But this program has so many features. Let's start out to begin with its audio CD layout. When you first launch the Dragon Burn program, you'll be presented with a window that asks you to select the CD type that you want to burn. And you will have audio CD, MP3 CD, data CD, DVD copy, and the list goes on and on and on. You have, in fact, let's just go into the thing and we'll start going through some of the listings. Hang on, I'm recording on Audio Hijack. And so I'm going to throw that into the background, and we're going to go over to Drag and Burn, which is down a ways in my dock. Drag and Burn, there we go. Okay, now we have Drag and Burn open. And it brought up the first button that is selectable in this layout list is for audio CD. So you have, here's the following list. I hope you can hear my speaker in the background. Hopefully by the time I add some compression to this, you will. But anyway, here's the list of what we have. Hang on. Wait a minute. I must have accidentally clicked on that button. Let's bring that layout back to the foreground in its default. Select burning type is what will first come up on your screen when you first launch the program. And it starts out at audio CD. Okay. So that's the very first thing your cursor will encounter. The next thing is MP3 CD, live audio, data CD slash DVD, CD slash DVD copy, multiple copy, menu button, that it just says generic menu button, but if you pop it up, you find out what's under it. You can go. Okay, video TS is the last thing on the list under that little menu. Let's go ahead and cancel that because I don't want to select anything. Video button, that's for producing a video disc. Picture CD. And then there's another menu button. Mixed mode CD. CD extra CD. Okay, that's the only two items that are there. Okay, then we move on to the right. Custom CD. Okay, then there's a box that says don't show description. Now, I have played with that box checked versus with it unchecked, and I haven't noticed any difference, but it's there. And it doesn't seem to affect anything we need to do with the program. Okay. Now, the neat thing I want to mention before we start getting into the controls of this this software is that it does more than just burn CDs. In addition to burning CDs, you can extract audio off either a hard drive or another CD and encode it into MP3. And in my opinion, this program has the highest quality MP3 encoder there is. As a matter of fact, when we do this, when we convert this podcast to MP3, I'm going to purposely do it at 64 kbps mono, and you're going to see just what the quality is like using Drag and Burn's MP3 encoder. Now, this is assuming, of course, that I have selected the highest quality button in there. Now, there's in preferences, there's some things you can set up for the best quality for MP3 and various other attributes of how the software behaves. But it is an MP3 encoder as well, and in my opinion, it beats the pants off Audio Hijack's MP3 encoding algorithms. It beats the pants off the lame MP3 framework. It is the best encoder out there. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that we do, some of you may know, I've talked to you about the broadcast that we do called the Information Corner, which can be found at theinformationcorner.com. We do those shows and post them in MP3. Now, the web versions are in 24 kbps, and unfortunately, this Drag and Burn program does not encode down that low. Before the higher quality versions of this, the ones I submit over to my broadcaster who puts them out on his broadcast feed, this is the best encoder out there. My problem with most of the other MP3 encoders, everybody uses the lame framework, it seems like, on System 10. And I don't know about the rest of you, but one of the things I don't like about the lame framework is it has kind of a grainy, harsh sound to it, particularly in bit rates such as 64 kbps, 48 kbps, and so on. But this program, for whatever reason, And 64 kbps mono does an encoding every bit as good as any program I've ever heard. In fact, it does the best job in mono of any MP3 encoding program I have ever heard anywhere. And I'm just elated over its behavior. And 128, which is considered medium quality for the internet, it does an absolutely outstanding job of audio reproduction, stuff that I would normally have to encode at 192 or 320 kbps. I can do it 128, and it sounds every bit as good as the encoder in iTunes or something like that would in 192 or one of those algorithms. So this has an extremely high quality encoder in it. It's the best I've seen on the System 10 platform yet. And so you can do encoding, and it's buried in there. And we'll get to that in a minute. Now, so far what I'm talking to you about is some of the features that are just in the audio CD format alone, okay, in that one window. Another thing that's in the audio CD format window, which we're dealing with here because it's the first thing on the list, there is a feature that allows you to normalize your audio as you are sending it to CD. No more of having to run those audio files through something like Sound Studio or some other program in order to get them normalized. And in fact, in my opinion, I think Sound Studio is a little bit low on the normalization side anyway. But this will do it. They call it volume balancing. So you don't want to look for normalizing the program. You want to look for audio balancing. I think is what they call it. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But anyway, there is that feature. Another feature that this program has is the ability to, let's say you're making a copy of a particularly an audio CD from another CD. Well, you can check a box that allows it to extract those audio files off of the first audio CD to the hard drive before sending it to the second CD, so as to make a more reliable copy. If this had been in Toast, I wouldn't have had some of the errors when making Information Corner CDs for people that have requested them, or whatever the case may be. I've had more Frisbees with Toast, and I've had virtually none with this piece of software. It is so good. Okay, so there's that feature. Another thing that is nice about this program is that it has the typical, it has the buffer underrun prevention that prevents you from having errors. It'll control the speed of your drive to prevent buffer underrun problems. And I think it does a more accurate job than Roxio's Toast is concerned. I've even had Frisbees with buffer underrun prevention turned on in Toast, but I have not in this program. So, like I say, there are tons of features, and I may not even get to everything here because there's just so many different things you can do with it. You can, like I say, you can encode MP3s. And by the way, that same encoding system will also allow you to encode from MP3 to AIFF or WAV or whatever, okay? Or MP3, rather. Now, it will not do AAC. Now, you can also encode MP3s or AAC files to be burned on CD, on audio CD. So that can be done. You can also encode from AAC files or MP3s or WAV files or AIFF files to be converted to MP3 and sent to a CD. So that's another neat thing you can do. In addition to extracting files into MP3, from AIFF or WAV or AAC, you can also, by using the MP3 CD layout, you can do an encode and burn in one fell swoop. In other words, let's say you decide you want to make an MP3 CD out of a ton of WAV files. Let's say you have 200 WAV files, and of course you know they're not going to fit on a standard audio CD, but you have 200 songs, they're WAV file. And you want to send them to a CD in MP3 format. Well, you go into your preferences, you get everything set, you select your bitrate and preferences, whether you want it to be stereo or mono. You select for best encoding, I always select highest. The only downside is it doesn't stay there. You have to reselect that every time you go in. That's a bug I'm going to report, but it's a minor one. But once you select your encoding preferences, then you click on the MP3 CD layout button, which will present a screen where you can go in and load in all your files. The program will first encode them into MP3 in a folder, a temporary files folder, which will be laid out on your hard drive, and you can determine what drive you want that temporary folder to be stored on. I happen to have a separate drive just for audio, so I don't allow it to lay anything out on the hard drive. There is a feature in there that allows it to access any hard drive based on the availability of space, but I don't want it accessing my drive with my boot system on it at all, so I would much prefer it totally do everything on an external drive, so that's what I've done. But what it'll do is it'll write a temp directory with your temp files in there, and then after it gets done encoding those temp files, then it will send those temp files to the CD as MP3s. So, I mean, there's just tons and tons of stuff you can do with this program. Data CD, again, you can copy. If it's out there and it's data, you can copy it. It'll copy in MS-DOS format. It'll copy in hybrid CD. It'll copy in any of the Macintosh formats. You name it, it'll copy it. And you can copy them with long Macintosh names and a hybrid CD. It's just so versatile. It's just amazing. It's very stable also. I've never had this program kick up its heels and give me a problem one time. If everything's functioning okay on your computer, it'll work just fine. Now, the only problem that I have, and I got to talk to them about this because it's probably going to be on their end where we're going to have to correct this, because getting Apple to do it, I don't know if that can be done or not. But there is a feature in the preferences for CDs and DVDs that allows you to set up a default for what you want the computer to do when you insert a blank CD into the recorder. You can have it ignore, or at least supposedly ignore, or you can have it open up your favorite CD burning software, and you can do that for either CDs or DVDs. Now, the only problem I am running into is that if Drag and Burn is already open at the time, and I have that preference set to open Drag and Burn, instead of opening Drag and Burn, it'll pop up a screen asking me what I want to do. And, of course, I'm sitting here thinking, well, I told you what I wanted you to do. I set that up in the default preferences. And it'll ask me if I want to ignore the message or open some other application. Well, no. I selected what I wanted it to do in the CD-DVD preferences. But yet it's still giving me that dialogue asking me what I want to do, when quite clearly that choice is not one of the ones that I selected. So I have to dismiss that out of the way before clicking the burn button, but other than that, it's not a big issue. And when you select the burn button, it will pop up a dialogue asking you to select speed, or if you want to use smart adjustments or whatever, and then you click burn session or disk, and it will do the job. Like I say, it works very, very well with any recorder, whether it be the one that's in my laptop or if I use this external super drive I have down here from LaCie. Another interesting attribute to Drag and Burn is that no more having to update the software to reflect a new recorder. Drag and Burn does it differently. You go out on the internet, there's a button that allows you, or there's a, under the internet menu, there's an option that allows you to go and collect the latest CD database, CD recorder database. And you go and select that, and it will load the latest CD recorder database from the company's website, NTI Software. Okay. It'll go to their software site and download the latest database. Load it right in, and you're up to date. Just that simple. Same program, just new database added into the application. So the application is updatable. And the help is very good, too, the user's guide when you get it. Now, when you go to their website, ntius.com, you will find that there is a trial version. Now, the trial version is downloadable from the internet, so you can kind of look it over. It allows you 10 uses when you first get it, and then you have to register it. The program on the website is not quite as versatile as the one that you get. The one that you get on CD, which is the way they prefer to send it. Now, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why you can't just download it and register an electronic download, but that's the way they've decided to do it. They prefer to send it to you on a CD, and so that's the way you have to get it. The program is $49.95 as opposed to Toast's $90-some-odd or almost $100. And you get a lot more with it, okay? The only major bug that I have found is in the live audio CD layout. When you go to record live audio CD, on some Macintosh models, the audio is quite choppy. It's quite grainy. It's like the machine can't hardly keep up to keep it going. Now, I guess if you're running a real fast machine with a real fast bus speed or something, you might be able to slide by. But I talked to a friend of mine who's just bought a Mac Mini, and he's had some trouble with the live audio feature in the program as well. So my recommendation is record audio and something else and then send it to Drag and Burn, because other than that, Drag and Burn will handle anything just nicely. The only problem that I can find with Drag and Burn as far as the live audio is that they should have put a RAM buffer in there to buffer the audio before it goes to the drive. And I know exactly what's going on. The program is not... either the program's not delivering the audio fast enough, or it's more like the drive not keeping up. And I imagine it's the latter of the two is what it may be, that the drive is not keeping up with the audio coming through. Where if you have a buffer, which is the trick that a lot of these programs use, like Sound Studio, Audio Hijack even has an adjustable buffer to control the amount of latency as the audio is going to the drive, and that smooths it out so that you don't have this problem and allows for a smoother write pattern as the drive is being recorded too. So this is a problem that will need to be rectified in the later versions of Drag and Burn, and that's one suggestion that I plan on making, okay? Anyway, let's explore. I'm going to explore at least one of the windows. Now, the thing I want to mention about this program is if we explore one window, you can pretty much take to the bank how the rest of the windows are going to be laid out. They have done such an interesting job of laying this program out that most of the layouts that you open, whether it be for audio CD, data CD, or whatever, pretty much look the same, with the exception of the fact that there will be some buttons for particular file formats. Like, for example, the audio CD layout is going to have an option, you know, for encoding to MP3, which obviously the data layout or the CD copy layout is not going to have. The CD copy layout is going to have a pop-up menu or a drop-down sheet that will allow you to select whether you want a copy from a disk image or from another CD burner or whatever the case may be. You know, there'll be some minor differences, but for the most part, the layouts are all the same. In other words, if you can run the audio CD layout in Drag and Burn, you can run any layout in Drag and Burn. So, anyway, we're going to commence to get started here. Let's select audio CD. Let me go down. There we go, audio CD. So let's go ahead and select audio CD. Audio CD, untitled CD, and then it says my music CD. That's the default it'll land in. All. Now, that's the first thing you heard it say, all pop-up button. Now, what that is another unique feature of this program that just beats the pants off Toast. This is a filter. Let's say you have a folder and it's just absolutely loaded with MP3s and text files and and maybe some WAV audio files and some AIFF audio files or just anything, okay? Well, this filter allows you to narrow down what this program will see in that folder. In other words, you could drop a whole folder on this program if you could drag and drop, or if you use the plus button to add the stuff in using the open dialog system on the Macintosh, you could literally select a whole folder worth of stuff and let this program do the dirty work of sorting it out. Now, I like keeping my folders a lot better organized than that. I like keeping all of my MP3s in a folder, other audio files in a different folder, and I don't like having just miscellaneous scraps laying around everywhere, you know, just all mixed up together. But let's just say if you wanted to put this program through its paces, you could literally take a whole hard drive just full of different folders with MP3s, text files, WAV files, AIFF files, ZIP files, the list goes on and on. Drop it on this program or open it and import it into this program. Then this little filter where it says all pop-up button, you can pop it up. Okay. You notice I was able to select AIFF, WAV, or MP3 in this audio CD format, so I just selected MP3. I could literally drop a folder full of thousands of different types of documents on this, and this program will go through and sort it all out and take only the MP3s out of it and send it to disk. That is just the most wonderful thing I have ever seen. So that's one thing right off the bat that you can do with this program. Okay, now let's move on.
Zero tracks.
We don't have anything imported.
0 o'clock.
0 o'clock. That's just where time would normally be displayed.
Table.
Okay, now this table, if you were going to encode to MP3, this table would be where you would select all the tracks that you have imported into the program to be sent off to MP3 encoding. Okay, the MP3 encoding feature will not normally work unless you interact with this table and select all the items that you want encoded. Okay, now the next button is X for extract. Okay, when that button is clicked, once you have selected your files, you can then get an open dialog, and then you can go in there, select where you want those files to be encoded, select the folder or place you want them to go, whether it's a hard drive or a folder. And you can also select the audio type that you want these files to be encoded to, whether it be MP3, WAV, or AIFF. And this program will extract the audio out of any files that you drop on it and encode them to the format that you specify. And there's three types. There's AIFF, WAV, or MP3. Now, the program will extract audio from AAC files, and there may be other ones that I'm not thinking of at this time, but it will do AAC files. It will not encode to AAC, but will extract from AAC files and encode them to MP3, or it will encode them to just whatever. I mean, you know, AIFF or WAV, those three items, you know, you can select those items and encode them to WAV or whatever the case may be. And it does a wonderful job of doing that. Now, let's move on to the next thing. Plus button. This is a button where if you can't use drag and drop, which we can on VoiceOver, you click this button and it will present you with an open dialog so that you can navigate to a file or files that you want to import into the program for either burning to CD or encoding to MP3. And it's a standard Macintosh open dialog with a sidebar and all that, so you can select the drive and that kind of thing. Hyphen is where you remove a file from that table over there. Remember we talked about that table a while ago where you can select items to be encoded to MP3 once they're imported into the program with that plus button. You can also use that same table over to the left of the X button for extract. You can go in there and you can select items to be removed from the list. If you've imported too many things in for the CD to handle, you can go back in there and extract items to be excluded on this particular CD. Let's go on. Okay, unknown. That doesn't seem to have any value, so we'll just skip over that. Greater than button. Okay, this button has some hidden features connected with it. Now, remember I talked to you about normalizing audio as it's being imported to as it's being burned to a CD or encoded into MP3 in this audio CD layout. Those features are not accessible until you click on this greater than button. Okay, so we just clicked on that greater than button. Okay, now let's move on to the right, and we'll see that a drawer has been revealed. Okay, we'll skip that. Okay, that's the button for eject. Burn. Untitled.ncd. We're not actually doing a track right now. We don't have any files in there, so it's just showing up as Untitled.
C button.
C button. That's a copy button.
My music CD.
My music CD.
MP3
pop-up button. Remember, we selected that all feature.
Drawer.
Okay, now we're back around. Remember, we had to go all the way around to that, back around past that that filter, you know, where you pop it up, and I selected MP3 so it would, sort all the MP3s out of the, out of all the files that we had. Remember we were talking about how you can have this program do the dirty work of sorting out your MP3s, for example, out of a list of other items that you drop on this program. You can have it sort all that stuff out, and that's what that was, that filter we just passed. But remember, this drawer wasn't here the first time we went around. This drawer didn't show up until I clicked on that greater than button. So now that this drawer is here, let's interact with it.
Interact with drawer. Three items. Copy CD audio to hard drive. Check box.
Copy CD audio to hard drive. Okay, now what this button is, this is that button we were talking about, that when you stick a CD in the drive, this will copy the audio to the hard drive first before burning the new copy in the CD recorder so that you get a more reliable burn. You know, you run into some cases where some of the stock CD burners or CD players, CD-ROMs rather, in computers may be too slow to keep up with the demand that the CD recorder may be putting on them. And, of course, that's how you get write errors. You know, if the host CD drive that's delivering the data cannot keep up with the recorder, then you're going to get buffer underrun errors and different things like that. Well, this little checkbox here allows you to add one extra step to the process where the program will copy all the items to the hard drive first, then send them to the recorder for burning, and that way you get a much better burn. The quality is guaranteed that way because we know most hard drives can keep up unless they're USB or something like that. But we're talking about any normal hard drive that's either SCSI, if you're old enough to remember SCSI. Usually SCSI drives will keep up. I'm running a SCSI drive in here simply because the drive's still good and I can't bear to throw it out. So I put a SCSI card in here and I'm running a SCSI drive. But it's a fairly recent vintage SCSI drive, one of the last ones that was made, put out by Seagate, and it's a fast drive, so I've got it in here, and I do SCSI. Well, it's fast enough to keep up with the recorder, so I have this program set to write everything to this large SCSI drive, and then after it's done writing the files, then it'll go ahead and send the written files that are on a hard drive to the recorder instead of just trying to send the data straight from the CD-ROM built into the computer to the super drive, which is sitting over here on the desk over here just to the right of the computer. And that's a very valuable feature for another reason, in that the super drive can burn at 50x, which is way faster than this little drive in this computer would ever do. This fastest this drive in this computer over here will ever do is maybe about 12x, because it's not exactly the newest computer. It's a G4, which I've upgraded to a 1.2 gig processor. And so its CD-ROM drive is not exactly the fastest. So this is a means by which the audio can be copied to the hard drive and then sent to the burner, thus guaranteeing that it would be a smooth and complete burn. So anyway, that's the first thing. And then it'll give a short description.
Copy tracks from audio CDs to a temporary phone on the local hard drive to allow audio swapping and more reliable burn. Note, you must wait until all tracks are copied from the source audio disk before you are allowed to input CD fixed and burn the layout.
Okay. What it's saying is that it's just telling you that this writes a temporary folder to your hard drive with the CD audio tracks in it for audio swapping. And of course, audio swapping is, of course, swapping to the new CD. And it's just stating that you must wait till all files are copied before burning the layout to disk. Now, let's go to the next feature.
Enable volume balancing.
This is the little goodie in this program that I think is just fantastic. I've already tested it, and it works gangbusters. It normalizes anything to the maximum volume without distortion, and it is good. It does a wonderful job, and I'm glad to see it in this program. I've always wanted a program that would do this. Now, Toast didn't have this. If you wanted to do normalizing or volume balancing, as they call it, you had to buy Jam, which is the version of Roxio software for audio aficionados, so to speak, okay? But see, that was a totally separate program, and it too, probably like Toast, does not have a Cocoa front end, which would make it somewhat hard to work if you were using VoiceOver. I mean, there are some things that are accessible, but there's a heck of a lot that are not. You know, one thing I always had trouble with Toast was that not only did it have not have this feature, which meant I had to go in some previous audio recording program before importing to Toast. But Toast also, because it was not a Cocoa front end, did not have the standard Macintosh dialogues, which meant that in order to select an external hard drive, I had to install a program called Default Folder, which forced Toast to point to my external drive. And this program, I don't have to do that. It's totally standard Macintosh conventions. So anyway, there you go. Okay, now we're back around. So anyway, those are the two features in that little drawer, is copy CD audio to hard drive, and then volume balancing is the other checkbox. Both of these are checked because I prefer the best copy methods as opposed to taking any chances, because CD blanks are cheap, but I still don't like making Frisbees. Frisbees are something you play with in the yard, and we don't need to make any extras. Not only that, but you have all these blanks that go into the trash, and they're not... I'm not an environmentalist freak, but come on, they don't degrade, okay? So why waste them? You know, they're a valuable thing, even at a buck or so, or whatever they cost nowadays. So anyhow, that guarantees a reliable burn. So anyway, we've pretty much gone around through there. The burn button, if you click on the burn button in this window, it will present you, provide there's some blank media in there to be burned, it will present you with a window that will allow you to select speed, unless you have smart adjustment set for smart, smart adjusting of your burner. Then it'll do everything on its own, which I prefer because that's always been reliable. I've never had the smart burning adjustments foul up on me at all. And then there's buffer underrun prevention. If your burner supports buffer underrun prevention, it will also add to the safe burn operation so that the program will burn a perfect disc every time. Unless, of course, the disc is defective. And, of course, there is that, too. You know, that does happen once in a while. But for the most part, everything has always worked good, and I've not had any trouble. So, you know, if you buy a good brand of CDs, it's a given that most of your CDs are going to come out okay. Anyway, like I say, you can't beat it as far as it burning CDs. Now, the MP3 layout is pretty much similar. It has the plus button where you can import the files in if you can't use drag and drop. It doesn't have the copy button because that's already in the audio CD window. But it will encode CDs and send them to... I mean, it will encode MP3s and send them to CD on the fly. So that's mainly what that's for. The data CD layout, we'll explore that real quick. Let me go ahead and close out of the program and we'll open it again. Excuse me. This is the height of the... allergy period, so sometimes when I do long stints of talking like this, I have to take a little bit of something to take care of the throat allergies. So, excuse me while I deal with this. Anyway, okay, now moving right along. MP3 CD is pretty much the same layout as the audio CD window is. The variations are so limiting that it's not even worth worrying about. Live audio. Now, this window, when you click on it, there's a start button to record live audio. And the way it records live audio, it records all the tracks to the hard drive. And again, remember, we talked about this feature being somewhat unreliable on some Macintosh models. which we're going to deal with the next time I talk to them at tech support. And if enough of you use this program, feel free to submit your suggestions, because that will encourage them to keep this feature available and improve on this feature. And all they would need to do is add a buffer adjustment in preferences for this feature, and that would solve the problem. Just so it would write a certain amount of its data, maybe like two seconds of its data to RAM on the way to the disk, and that would smooth out any hard drive issues, okay? So anyway, there's this window. Let me go ahead and open it, though. We'll look at it. Live audio. Live audio CD. Let's see. And who knows? You know, I'm discovering new features in this program all the time. Now you watch and see if I don't accidentally uncover something in here. Built-in audio. That allows you to select your sound card if you're going to record. The default is built-in audio. But I could select my Digigram sound card if I wanted to. There's a slider for right and left, so you can balance your audio. So you can balance from right to left. There's L, R, and then there's a slider that goes between the two. Speaker unchecked checkbox would allow you to run audio to the audio output of your computer while it's being recorded to the drive. 0 o'clock and then start. That 0 o'clock is just a time where a time constant would normally be. There's the start button for live audio. Remember, there's my music CD.
Zero tracks. 0 o'clock.
0 o'clock again. Table. There's where you can, select those tracks or remove some stuff out of there. If you've recorded something and you don't like one of them that you've done, you can remove it out of there. And by the way, to pause, each time you stop and start with that start button, that splits the recording. So if you stop it and then restart it, it'll start another file as it's doing the live audio.
X button.
Okay, there's that X button again for extracting. So you can extract to MP3 in this window, I guess, too, which is something I wasn't even sure of. Let's see what we got also.
Plus,
there's that same button. I don't know why that would be in the live audio. I'm going to have to look and see why that's there. That plus and extract, unless they're just making the encoding feature available in this window as well. See, this is the full version. I started out when I first found this program with the trial version, and it didn't have all this stuff in it. So anyway, let's move on.
Hyphen,
that's to remove a track that you don't like.
Unknown.
Recorder.
Recorder.
Okay, there's that. Okay, same buttons as what we had in the audio CD format window, which is, this live is also audio, but it's a separate layout. Okay, now we're back around. Okay, you can't do anything with that unknown there. So it's not a control, thank goodness. Okay, you can select different recorders here. That's a pop-up menu there, so you can select your recorder. And by the way, that was available in the audio CD. That's available in all the windows. Okay. Erase, burn, and there's an eject button in here too. A copy button, and the same thing as what was in the other window. There's no greater than button, so there's no drawer to select in here. Anyway, let's close out of this, and we'll go to the next window, which would be the data CD window.
Finder, audio, files, select, drag and burn, press, drag and burn, application, drag and burn, select, burn, dialog, audio CD button.
Okay, and by the way, when we encode this to MP3, it will be encoded using drag and burn, so you'll be able to hear this audio encoder down at 64, which is where these things really shine. You know, if you're going to test the true limits of an encoder, how good it sounds, it's in the highly compressed audio mode where they really shine. So we're going to do this purposely at 64. Anyway, let's go on.
MP3 CD button. Clip audio button.
Okay, we had audio CD, MP3 CD, live audio,
data CD/DVD.
Let's go in here and look at this real quick.
Data CD/DVD.
And its layout is pretty much the same. Now, I have it set to default to HFS Plus, okay? Now, that was the first thing that came up when I landed in this layout is the formatting menu. So let's pop this up and let's take a look. Okay, Mac OS Extended HFS Plus is the very first thing at the top of the list. Mac OS HFS, that's the standard HFS that you used to see under the older Mac OS systems. Juliet or Juliet or however they pronounce it, MS-DOS. Windows/MS-DOS, yeah, Juliet, Windows/MS-DOS. MS-DOS Plain, Hybrid, HFS Plus Juliet or Juliet or however it's pronounced. Hybrid slash HFS Plus slash DOS. Okay. Hybrid slash HFS slash DOS. Hybrid HFS slash Juliet or Juliet. UDF 1.5. UDF 1.02. DVD movie. And that's the last. So that gives you an idea of what formats are available under that pop-up menu. Filter. There's another one of those filters again. And under this filter, since it's data CD slash DVD, let's see what's in this filter. Doc, document. TXT. That's the first item. Okay, there's only one item here, but what they allow you to do is edit this filter. You can add new filters. You can go in and add new documents to be added to the filter list. So that is a nice feature, too, is if the items that are in the original default filter list are not to your liking, you can add extra in here. So they've clearly left this thing open-ended in this department, too, to add additional document filters. Zero item, 0 byte.
Outline,
that's where you, that's similar to the table we had in the audio CD window, where you can actually see what's added there and manipulate it and arrange it. By the way, one thing I neglected to mention is that you can go in and literally, if you import items off a hard drive and they're not in the arrangement you want, you can go ahead and copy and paste the items in the order and the tables and outlines the way you want them. So you can rearrange them to your liking in the, you know, before you send them to the CD or DVD.
New,
that's for, you know, new CD layout or whatever.
Plus,
hyphen, of course, those are the buttons we had in the audio CD window. Enable disk spanning. Now, what disk spanning is, as we talked about earlier, we're going to go in detail about this. Let's say you have a bunch of stuff to copy, but it has to be copied over a wide batch of CDs. Let's say you have a bunch of stuff you want to burn to CD, but it's all stuff that is not going to fit on one disk. Well, if you check this box, it'll copy until the disk gets full, then it'll eject the first disk, then ask you for the second disk, shove that into the recorder, and it'll take off where it left off on the first disk. When that disk gets full, it'll kick that one out, ask you for the third disk, and so on until you get all the stuff copied that you want to do in the data CD format. So that's what disk spanning is. It's a really cool feature if you have stuff, data that you want to copy that's going to cover multiple disks. You can do it with this. Okay,
80min 700 MB
pop-up button. It's dimmed right now because we don't have anything in there. If that disk spanning box is checked, that button will come, that pop-up menu will come alive and allow you to select either 80-minute or 70-minute, you know, 74-minute disks, and then it'll go down from there. Let's see. Let me check. Let's check this spanning so we'll have this menu available for a minute. Okay. And that was the last item on there. Okay, so you can do those little bitty pocket-sized CDs. I don't know if some of you have seen those where they're little bitty CDs about the size of the palm of of a small hand in some cases. They're little bitty things. I've seen some promotional things put on them. You can do those with this and allow you to select those. What that will allow you to do is select those so that when you're doing disk spanning, it will time out at the proper point so that you won't overwrite those little bitty disks or DVDs or whatever the case may be. In other words, you can set up the disk spanning to work according to the media you're working with, and that's what that pop-up menu is for. When disk spanning is turned off, that menu is dimmed and does not work. See, notice it says dimmed pop-up button when I uncheck disk spanning. Greater than. Let's pop the. This is another one of those. Okay, it's dimmed, so I guess it's not going to let us access that greater than button. Let me see if that greater than button works with disk spanning engaged. No. Let's turn off disk spanning. Okay, and then there's that recorder menu again. Drive status ready. Okay, the same buttons we had before. Erase, burn. And then there's eject. And that untitled.ncd. C. Which is a copy button to... at least that's what I think it is. I haven't used it, but I don't know what else you'd call a C, that C button. So some of you may get this program and find stuff that I haven't even found. So don't feel bad about that at all. I'm just giving you the basics of what I found so far. And I'm telling you, it works rings around toast. There's that filter again we talked about. So let's go ahead and close out of this. And let's go ahead and launch the program again for the next and select the next layout. Okay, let's go back over drag and burn in the dock here. Okay, now let's go. CD, DVD, copy. Now, the only thing different about this window is... The only thing that's in here is a source, and you can select the... It defaults to the computer's built-in ROM. In all cases, you can select a different source. But among one of which, you can go down and select... is. Let's pop up the source menu. Okay, that's the CD DVD image reader. CD/DVD ISO image reader. Now that's where you would import things like DMG disk images, you know, various other types of disk images in here for sending straight to CD. Now what I do, I always keep a running backup of my OS every so often. This is perfect for this. Okay. Some of you may or may not do this. If you want to keep a backup running copy of your system so that it's always available to you, this is a feature that you must have. Now, what I always do to back up my system is I keep a rewritable DVD handy. The average system on Mac OS X takes up almost that whole DVD. Now, you can trim it down if you use a program called Monolingual, which will take out some of the foreign languages if you're not using them, and that'll slim down your system sometimes a good 450, 600 megabytes, depending upon how much stuff you've installed that has foreign languages in it. But if you can keep your system trimmed down, you can burn your entire OS complete with operating system and everything to a DVD using this program. Now here's what I do. I'm going to give you a brief description of how I back up my system. Now, before I tell you this, I will tell you that you cannot boot from this system. There's too many resources that are not available for an OS boot doing this. But it does back up very effectively. And since the since a Mac OS X Tiger has the built-in screen reader on the DVD, it is not important that you boot from your backup disk. Okay. The main purpose of your backup disk is to migrate all your user files and settings over to the new system once you reinstall your system. So here's what I do. I use a program called Carbon Copy Cloner, which we're not going to talk a lot about at this point, other than just to give you an idea of what you can do with it. Carbon Copy Cloner is a must if you're going to back up your system because, among one of the things that it does, is it repairs permissions as things are being copied, okay? Now, what I do before I use Cloner is I open Disk Utility and I click New Image and I create a disk image, 4.7 GB. That's for a DVD ROM, okay? Once that disk image is created, then I close out a Disk Utility, and then, assuming I've already named the disk image when I created it, whatever I want it to be called, I usually call it Sam's G4 Backup, you know, because, see, I keep a backup, and my wife, Trish, keeps a running backup of her system, so we have to identify which ones are which, and then I got my laptop on top of that that I have to back up, so we have to make sure we keep these all separate so we know where the heck they're supposed to go later on. So anyway, I have this disk image, and now I need to copy my operating system to it. So what I do is I go into Carbon Copy Cloner, which is a separate program. It's a piece of donationware. You can search for it on the Apple Macintosh website, or you can find it by doing a search, a Google search on any of the major Macintosh or something like that. You could probably find it through there. Any of the Macintosh software sites should have Cloner listed somewhere. Version Tracker should have it. You should be able to find it on Version Tracker. So anyway, you put Cloner on your machine, you set it up, and you can make disks bootable, although a full system, I've never gotten a full system to boot. You can experiment it, and if you ever find out a way to get it to work, let me know. You can set up, make it bootable, repair permissions on the fly, and all this stuff in Cloner, okay? Then, when you got Cloner's preferences all set for what you want to do, then you select the target, or the source disk, rather. You select the source first, which would be your hard drive, your main boot hard drive. Then you select the target, which is where you want the stuff to be copied to, which would be this disk image. Then you click the clone button, and then when you click that button, it's going to ask you for your password before you do it. That's the way OS always does it, OS 10. Put your password in there. And then once you do that, then you click the start button or the clone button again to get it going, and it'll clone all that stuff over to the disk image and repair the permissions as it's being cloned. Depending upon the speed of your machine, it will take approximately, in my case, it takes about 20 minutes on a processor that's running 1.2 GB. It'll be slower if your processor is slower. So it'll take a while. Find something to do. After that is totally copied to the disk image, then quit Cloner. It'll give you a message. By the way, Cloner is Cocoa Interface too, so it's usable by blind people, or I wouldn't be telling you this. Excuse me while I cough. And anyway, so Cloner is Cocoa front end, so you'll be able to work Cloner. Okay? But anyway, when Cloner's done, it'll say the cloning operation has completed. And then there'll be a button that says donate if you'd like to donate to Bonebic Software, the Mike Bonebic, who's the guy who writes the program. You can donate to him. It's donationware. Then there's an OK button. Once you clear Cloner, then we go back to Drag and Burn. Now, remember in Drag and Burn, we selected the CD-DVD ISO image reader, okay? Then the next thing we do is we want to select the image we want to read from. And so we go into the... It goes into an open dialog when you select the image reader. Okay, I have mine set to default to my external hard drive. So I would then select that image, not the image that's mounted on the desktop. Go ahead and move that off the desktop after you've copied all your files to it. You go to where the actual image is physically located and import that into Drag and Burn. Then, assuming you have the media installed, then hit the Burn button, and you can burn that image to disk, and it'll look just like your hard drive. No different. except it'll be a hard locked copy. And what's nice about that is when you go to reinstall your OS, you can use the migration assistant to copy all your user files and stuff from that disk back over to your hard drive. And you'll have all your settings back, your applications back. The only settings you won't have back is for programs like Rumpus, which is the FTP server we talked about earlier on an earlier podcast, which uses root privileges and does not apply in this application. But all your stuff that's in your user's home folder will be copied to the new system. And if you have multiple users, they will be copied because it copies the entire user's folder. There's a folder, as you know, in the OS called users, and buried within that folder is everybody's home folder. Okay, so all that will be copied using the migration assistant off the CD. Okay, now obviously you want to keep that CD backed up, but keep it, in other words, up to date, so don't just back it up, throw it in the drawer, and then 6 months later, after you've done a whole new rash of Safari bookmarks and mail addresses and all that, that's not going to be the most reliable backup because you'll lose quite a bit of stuff. But if you keep that backed up on average about once a month or maybe once every couple of weeks, you'll lose very little in cloning that over to the, cloning that back over to the hard drive after you've installed a new OS. Now, the one thing that I want to mention out of this whole thing of copying stuff using the CD method that we were talking about, or the DVD method. I keep saying CD, but they're almost one and the same, except one, they're not, obviously a DVD won't play in a CD player, but anyway, when you burn to a DVD your entire system, make sure you reset Safari to clear out all the icons and cache that Safari has accumulated. You can accumulate a lot of crap in Safari over a long period of time if you're not careful. Now, there is a program that will do that on an automatic basis for you, keep that somewhat cleaned up, and that's Cocktail, and we're not going to get into that. That also, too, has a blind-friendly front end, a Cocoa interface for VoiceOver. And you can use that and set that up on a scheduled basis to keep your Macintosh cleaned out. And you can set it up to dump all those internet cache files and stuff after you've accumulated so many. You can set it up on a schedule to go and clean all that out and restart the machine with a whole new outlook on life. So that's another thing you can do. Because all those cache files and icons that are downloaded from various different sites can make a big difference on whether your system will fit on a DVD or not. Now, there are little utilities out there called Safari Speed that will lock some of those features out so that Safari will not deposit so much of that on your hard drive. That's just a little application that allows you to do things such as remove the delay in Safari so Safari will load pages faster, remove the ability for it to load all those web interface or those web page icons on your hard drive and all that kind of stuff. But it's not a cure-all. There's still cache that has to be deleted every so often, and your cache can get quite a bit full. And there seems to be no place in Safari to dump that or to limit the size of that cache database. So you got to dump that manually, and if there's any way you can do it using something like Cocktail or something, go ahead and do it. And like I say, we're not going to get into a lot of these programs. I'm just mentioning them in passing to complement the work you're doing with Drag and Burn when it comes to backing up your system. Okay, so enough on that. So you can back up your system. And there's one other layout called CD/DVD multiple copy, and that works basically the same as the copy operation that we're exploring here. Let me move past this one menu that we were dealing with. Let me get out of this menu since we're not going to copy a disk image. Okay, there's the image reader.
Write a temporary CD image file first and then burn to recorder. Check, checkbox.
Write to temporary. Write to temporary CD image file first and then burn to recorder. That's a checkbox you can have or not have, but if you're copying from an image in the first place, why? Okay, and there's the place to select your recorder again. Okay, now, the multiple copy window is exactly the same way, except that it allows you to generate, you know, it'll just kick out one disk and then allow you to stick another one in there to make several copies of the same thing. That's the only difference in the second copy window, the multiple copy versus a single copy window. The video stuff is pretty much basically about the same, except it has stuff that's pertinent to video, obviously. And we're not going to get into that at this time. Those of you that are interested in that, if you're really interested in that, you can explore that part of it on your own. I don't have a need for that. I may at some point, but I don't have a need for it now. And so I've not really explored that part of it. If you would like more information, we will have a link. I'll make sure that there's a link with this audio file that will be posted, of course, on the Blind Cool Tech website, where you can navigate over and download a copy of this software. Again, it's for about half the price of Toast. And like I say, I think it's the best thing that has ever been written to replace Toast. Oh, hush. You ever notice VoiceOver has a habit of telling you twice just about everything? Drives me nuts. But anyway, that's a whole other issue for another day. But anyway, this program beats the pants off of Toast, as I stated earlier, and for about half the price, and is very stable. And I think your days of having problems with disk writing errors are over. If you use the program properly and you follow the instructions that are in the user's guide, which is found on the CD version of it that they send you, that's the when you pay for a copy of it, that's what you get. You get the CD copy in the mail. That's how they choose to do it. And again, why, I have no idea, but that's what they do. So anyway, that's the way you'll have to get this program. And one cool thing that's interesting is there's even an OS 9 version of Dragon Burn on that CD. I've not looked at it yet to see what it looks like with Outspoken on an OS 9 machine, but it's there nevertheless. So anyway, I hope this kind of whets your appetite for this program. NTI Software is the people who make this program, who produce this program. And again, like I say, if you get a copy of it, let them know how much you like it. Because just like the issue with Pro Tools that was being talked about here, which, by the way, I did go and sign the petition. I did sign the petition, and I urge everybody else to as well. I will endorse this as well. Please do so. But you also need to let other vendors know when programs are accessible and that you really appreciate the work that they're doing, because any time they could make a change to the user interface in the front end and it's all over for those of us out here using VoiceOver. Because if they're not aware that there's a multitude of us out here using OS 10 with VoiceOver, there's not going to be any real incentive to produce accessible software. So please, when you know of something that is accessible, download it, buy it, use it, and let the manufacturer know how much you enjoy that piece of software. And like I say, there's not too many CD burning programs out there that are as stable and as user-friendly as this is. There are quite a few. There's more CD burning programs out here for OS 10 than there were for OS 9. But nevertheless, they have to be friendly for us to use if they're going to do us any good. So anyway, hope you enjoyed this report. Blessings to you. And all I can say is happy CD burning. Bye-bye for now.